When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to Happy Horror Time. My name is Tim Murdoch.
And my name is Matt Emmert. Oh, Tim, you did that one so straight. It was, I don't mean straight.
Like a straight person?
No, I mean like the last few episodes you've like added something different, like hello
Well, you know,
something.
I'm very calm. I'm very collected. I'm a mature young adult.
Oh, and by young, do you mean?
45.
I was going to say you're calm and collected. You know what? Have you ever, no, you've never, have you've never tried CBD, have you?
Was that a drug? What is CBD?
Oh, so cute. So
innocent.
Thank you. It's the thing in marijuana that is like a calming agent. It's like THC is what makes you high. And if you just use the CBD, it's like kind of calming. It's like stress-free. Like Jacob and I will do it. It's legal. Don't worry. So is marijuana. But you can get the relaxation without the calm.
No,
so
I just take a nap. You know,
so innocent. But really, you're not.
I frequent hookers.
Hookers?
Just hookers.
You're like no marijuana, but definitely hookers.
Yeah.
So we are coming off of, this is our 101st episode. We just had our 100th episode. Hopefully everyone tuned in.
Happy 100th, Matt.
Happy 100th and now 101. But Tim and I had a really great time doing a Q&A, which we asked all our listeners to submit questions. And we got a lot of great questions.
We sure did. Thank you for everyone who took the time to do that.
Because during the Q&A, we weren't able to like talk. We just answered them because there were so many. We wanted to get through them. But like now I was really impressed because.
Someone who asked boxers or briefs?
Boxers or briefs.
And what are you wearing right now?
I'm always wearing trunks. Remember, that's my thing. It's like trunks are the mid-ground.
I think the word trunk sounds like a 1950s word.
See, when I think of trunk, I think of elephants.
Oh, really? When I think of
I think of trunks, I think of where I hide my bodies.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I'm wearing briefs.
I know. I love that's the question. No, but there's tons of questions on like, I don't know, how we met, what horror movies have inspired us. People knew that I would answer Halloween for everything, so I liked the people who called out, don't say Halloween.
We tried to mix it up.
Yeah, I mean, or we had a question about like foreign horror. We had questions about what got us into horror. And then my mom asked questions about American Idol.
My mom didn't, mainly because I don't think she knows how to check her email.
Well, Darlene, you got to learn that.
Darlene, if you're listening, like Phyllis.
And that's the thing. You're missing out, Darlene, on so many email things.
I know.
Does she really not check her email?
Well, my mom and dad share the same email.
Like Dar and Jim.
Doc and Dar. I'm just believing that. Email my parents.
Wait. Oh, we won't say if it's at, you know, it's not at Gmail because these people don't even check email.
No.
So guess like 25 years ago.
Right.
Wait, Doc? Was your dad a doctor? Oh, Murdoch.
Oh my gosh. Because he was like a football coach, a baseball coach, and a basketball coach. And they said, hey, Doc.
Oh, did they ever say, what's up, Doc?
Yeah. Well, my brother's I think my campaign when I was running for eighth grade vice president or something said, "What's up, Doc? Vote for Murdoch."
Oh, okay. First of all, that's an entirely other story. The fact that you did you win?
No.
I ran for senior high school senior treasurer and lost also.
Right. Well,
so we're a bunch of losers.
Yay, losers.
Wait,
eighth grade? I didn't peak. That's, I'm still need to
you,
peak.
You're about to peak, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you look in the mirror and you're like, just getting better.
I was like, everything's getting better.
You're like, everything's coming up roses.
I was like, you didn't peak on this senior year homecoming court. Okay.
Yeah,
or the prom court. Okay. I've been both.
If you've listened to this podcast, you've heard Tim was very popular in high school.
Listen, I don't want to talk about
it. Look, Tim, one of us peaked in high school and one of us is still on his way to stardom.
So,
you're like,
you know, one day you'll flourish.
you're high school. No, high school was just very general for me. Very, I wasn't popular, wasn't nerdy, was just like there.
Listen, I was practically Lady Gaga of my high school. Okay.
Lady Gaga. So people were bowing down to you, all your monsters.
And I was like, poker face.
And then you said, put your paws up.
Yeah.
Got it. Mm. Anyway, so now that we are past 100 episodes, we wanted to do something different and be really elevated. No,
I don't think we planned this, but whoa.
No, we didn't. But we didn't plan this on purpose, but we just happened to, for this episode, watch and discuss two foreign horror movies that are both very intense.
I'm still coming down from these films.
Yeah, like, and here's the thing. We're trying to kind of, I guess, broaden our horizons. I mean, you know, if you've listened to this podcast, you know Tim and I love slasher films, but we try to watch all types of horror films that are, especially when it's new ones coming out, and ones that we've heard of that sound good. And both of these just happened to come out the last couple of weeks. Both foreign horror movies. One is from Finland, one is one from Norway, and both were getting just a lot of hype, like really
buzz.
High ratings on Rotten Tomatoes, which is more than I can say for Firestarter, am I right?
Oh my God, you're so right. Everyone run and get Peacock and watch it.
Oh my God, the amount of people that probably did. Like, poor Pete.
Poor Pete.
Pete actually got Peacock to watch it so he could, well, if you listen to our last episode, we invited our good friend Pete, who does Totally 80s Room, to review Firestarter with us because it was a remake of an 80s film, and he actually got Peacock just to watch it, and unfortunately it turned out to be a stinker.
Stinker,
P-U. Yeah.
You.
Well, these movies are definitely not stinkers and are definitely a lot more elevated than Firestarter. We're going to start first with one that both these movies are available on demand because they're
if you want to go to your art house cinema.
Yes, if you have an artsy-fartsy theater, which will probably only like L.A., New York, and like
Columbus, Ohio.
And Columbus, Ohio, of course. They may be playing these, but otherwise, get it on demand. You can rent these. The first one is called The Innocents. And
hey, Matt. Are you innocent?
And sorry, not the innocents like INNONOCENCE, the innocents. Like one innocent is one, two innocents.
Listen, they don't need to hear all that.
Well, I'm just wanting to get the title right, and like I'm not saying right. Anyway, it is a Norwegian horror film, and let's just say, so when we watched the trailer, we thought like, oh, cute movie about kids. They look a little evil, but you know, no biggie.
Right. And then this, we turned it on a Sunday afternoon thinking it'd be easy breezy. Kids have Carrie-like powers.
Oh no, it was, it was intense. Yeah. So just to set the scene, it starts with the family. They're moving to a new town and there's two young girls. One is Ida and then her slightly older sister, Anna, who is autistic. So she doesn't speak. And the opening scene is like she's making all these noises and you can tell that Ida is annoyed by her. So right away, I think both Tim and I were thinking, oh my God, please don't kill your autistic sister.
Right. Like I was like, how dark is this going to get? Because I really wanted something light.
By the way, I feel like Autistic Sister should be the name of a band. What do you think? Or am I just thinking Twisted Sister?
I think you're thinking of Twisted Sister.
Or just any sister. Sisters. How about Sister, starring...
Oh, the twins?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and that's Jack A.
And Jack A. So anyway, it goes like, you know, and it starts with, you can tell that Ida is not happy that her parents give Anna, her autistic sister, all the attention, which is normal because she needs the extra attention. But Ida will do weird little creepy things like pinch her sister to see if it hurts her.
As soon as she did that, I was like, oh gosh, we're in for it because this movie's already like, when you're pinching your autistic sister, where do you go from there?
Well, first off, I can't stand torturing anybody, but torturing someone who can't even speak up to say that it's like, that's absolutely horrible. But
first off, as we know, if you've listened to any of our 100 episodes, you know I don't really like horror films with kids.
I thought you were going to say, and you don't even like kids.
And
so
I don't like
together.
Kids. No, I mean, I love children. Sure. But I'm just saying,
as long as you don't have to be in the same room
as
them.
No, I mean, just kids. Here's the thing. I'm really selfish, and kids need all the attention 24/7.
So you would be Ida.
I would be
Ida,
but
Anna got all the attention.
I wouldn't pinch anybody.
You would, because you're pinching me right now under the table.
Well, because it's St. Patrick's Day, and you're not wearing green. But actually, you are.
Funny thing is, I'm actually wearing green right now, and we're in
that theory. That's why I got so tongue-tied. So anyway, Tim.
Oh, TTT. So Ida, the younger sister, she goes out and kind of meets this friend named Ben, and you know, they get along, and you think they're just, quote unquote,
right,
innocent.
They're just doing that innocent thing with like playing outside and throwing things and whatever.
Yeah. But Ben does show her that he has some sort of weird like telekinetic ability, because he was like having her drop things and he could make them move. But at the beginning, it's really innocent.
Oh my gosh. It was so innocent to the fact that I didn't even notice. I was like, oh, that's cool the way he's throwing that thing.
Yeah,
I didn't even catch on that it was already like,
yeah,
he
was moving it with his mind because it would just shift. But at this point, you're wondering what's going on. And then you see that Ida, who's just so jealous of the sister getting attention, she actually puts shards of glass in her autistic sister Anna's shoes, knowing that the sister can't speak up about it and is just going to like suffer in pain.
Right. And as a viewer, I was suffering in pain because I didn't like watching an autistic girl walk around with glass in her shoe.
I mean, you could tell the girl was in pain, but she couldn't really voice it. And like, again, this movie is setting you up to think that Ida is the evil one, this younger sister. And it's a pretty evil thing she's done.
I actually thought that for the first 20 minutes of the film, but then the movie takes a turn because someone blows her out of the water and his name's Ben.
Yes. Well, Ben decides to say like, oh, there's this local cat that he's kind of adopted named Jabba. And you think it's all innocent until he and Ida take the cat up to the top of a stairwell.
And before you go on, this movie had 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. So this movie's praised. People love it. I mean, I guess they don't love it, but they think it's just a great film.
Well, I mean, I feel like, are you saying because
I'm
it
saying,
was disturbing,
like, what you're about
it's not
to say
great? Oh,
is
well, but
like,
remember,
why would anyone want to watch this?
Well, here's the thing. I think a film can be disturbing and like horrifying and still you love it, but even though it's hard to watch. Do you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, like,
and talk about hard to watch.
Right.
They dropped a cat down the middle of a stairwell. Bam, lands on the ground. The cat is still alive.
Limping.
And again, as a pet owner, and Tim, you've been a pet owner.
Oh my gosh.
Rather watch people torture other people than pets. It's
Me
just
too.
So horrible.
There's just something that
They're defenseless. They can't speak up, just
exactly.
like Anna in this. The more someone cannot get away and do anything, they're defenseless. It is just horrible. Well, Ben proceeds as he's laughing to, do you want to say
I
this?
Do not. Well, okay, I will. He goes down and she's kind of like, what the F? And he takes it upon himself to turn around, put his foot on the cat's face and crush the cat.
Stomps in the cat's head.
And then at this point, I was like, what are we doing to ourselves?
Luckily, Ida at this point, who, you know, has just had put glass shards in her sister's shoe, turns around. Even she is horrified.
She's like,
so,
okay, I thought I was messed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, like,
you take the cake.
I think she's realizing, wow, there's some levels of evil in this and you are fucked up evil.
Taking the cake.
I'm just like glass shards evil. But anyway, they also introduce this other character, another girl named Aisha. And Aisha has some weird, like, sort of psychic connection.
It's kind of like The Shining.
Yeah, with Anna. Like, even though Anna can't speak, Aisha can, like, hear her thoughts, and you can hear that they can kind of communicate in their minds. So that Aisha can walk with her and tell her sister what she actually wants to say. And sometimes when Aisha thinks certain things, she can get Anna, who's autistic, to actually speak and say things. So they have this weird connection. The four of them end up hanging out, and you see that it's kind of becomes like Ben is telekinetic and can move things. You find out Anna can actually move things with her mind too.
And
then Aisha,
I think she's a step more powerful than Ben.
Yeah. So it's funny because even though Anna can't really speak much, she has this ability to move things. So does Ben. And then Aisha has the ability to like read minds and hear thoughts. So Ida really is the only one without any abilities
right.
in this.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to jump too far, but we learned she does.
Yeah, at the very end, she kind of does. But so as the movie's going on, like, you start seeing more and more really evil things that Ben starts doing. Like, one thing is you can tell that he comes from a bad home, and the mother isn't the best mother, but what he does to her horrible.
Well, first off, I want to back up in just a pinch and, like, Did we already talk about how the one day that Anna talks in front of the mother and the mom, like, gets to witness Anna talking?
Oh, well, yeah. There's, like, because Aisha can actually put thoughts in Anna's head, and Anna's able to speak a few words, and the mom, like, goes crazy because she
hasn't been able to speak. I almost cried, but I didn't.
Anyway, oh, I just snorted.
I did. I heard it, but I was going to let that slide, you little pig.
A little bit. So, Ben, one day, his mom's, like, yelling at him, and he moves a frying pan and smashes her head with the frying pan. Right. And then when she's on the ground, he turns a, like, pot of boiling water over on her legs.
Right. And then just leaves her there for dead. And then he comes and goes out of the apartment with his rotting mom on the kitchen floor.
Real sweet boy, huh? Like, I mean, literally, again, I don't know. I don't know what his home life was like, but to do that, to leave your mom to die in horrible pain, when you have those types of burns, you are just suffering.
Oh my gosh. And leaves, like, in there. I think the movie, and, like, we discussed this a little bit while we were watching the movie together, is that the kids are, like, especially Ben, is, like, drunk with power.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They don't know how to control it. They're just kind of doing horrible things.
Well, another thing that Ben does is there's kind of, like, a teenager who sort of bullies him, but it's really not even that bad. He's just kind of, like, making fun of him. And then Ben is able, another thing Ben can do, he can hypnotize other people and make them do things. So he's sitting in his room and he's able to go into this trance.
His eyes go white.
Yes, and he's able to make one of his neighbors go and bludgeon the teenager to
death.
With
a rock. And they're on a bridge. It's very disturbing.
And again, it's like, here's the thing. I guess, how old would you say these kids are? Like 11?
Oh, gosh. All of them are under 11, except for the autistic girl might be
a little older. Well, either way, what I was going to say is that no matter what age they are, they're old enough to know the difference between right and wrong. Like, you know, at that age, if you're doing things that harm people, and like you were saying, he's gotten so drunk with power of the things he can do, it doesn't matter to him who he's hurting. But there's kind of a big conflict between him and Aisha, because Aisha is actually, like, the powerful good one who's helping, you know, the autistic girl. She wants to help stuff. And Anna, since she has powers too, you can tell that they kind of are opposing each other. And there's one thing where they kind of make fun of Ben, and Ben gets really pissed.
Yeah, so, and he has to, like, throw around his powers, literally.
Yeah, and doesn't he, I think there's, I put one of the things he gets so mad at Aisha, he tries to, like, make her suffocate, but finally Ida steps in and pushes him so he doesn't kill her.
Yeah, like, he's basically taking all the air out of her.
Yeah, and it's just, but anyway, at that point, all of the girls are terrified that Ben is going to come kill them. And then we get to probably the most intense scene of the movie. Now, this, if the cat wasn't hard enough to watch, I'd say this, and I think you know what I'm talking about, was the hardest scene to watch. Ben is able to go in a trance, takes over the mind of Aisha's mom, and hypnotizes her into stabbing to death her own daughter.
Right. Well, just it was one stab. But, I mean, that's all you need. But,
well,
I mean,
but
it was
she
still
died.
Well, actually, what about the scene when he takes Ida to the park and,
these
kids are playing soccer and, like, he just snaps his little kid's leg?
Yeah, that's one of them. He was kind of showing off to Ida and showing that, like, look what I can do. And he's able to snap one of the kid's legs and the kid's, like, screaming in pain. But I think the Aisha scene was so effective because, number one, you love this little girl. She's so cute and she's sweet and she's helping the autistic girl and just selfless.
She probably has the most empathy in the movie.
Exactly. And her mom is hypnotized, stabs her, and then wakes up from it, realizes what she's done, is
and she's
horrified.
Just holding her daughter as she passes away.
And it's like, again, one thing I will say about foreign horror that you don't see as much in domestic horror, I feel like you would never see a kid get stabbed in an American horror movie.
No.
You know, foreign horror usually takes more risks, and, you know, good for them because it was
because
shocking.
They also, like, this film would never get made under a big studio like Paramount.
Yeah, no way. Well, anyway, like, so there's getting to the point where Ida and Anna realize that Aisha's dead, and so they realize Ben is probably going to come after them.
Right.
So Ida develops this plan where she acts like she's just going to go play with Ben on, like, a freeway overpass.
Oh my God. This is very reminiscent of The Good Son. Remember when they took Elijah Wood and Macaulay Culkin, took the, like,
of course,
stuffed
the dummy, and it causes a huge crash.
Yeah.
Good call. I forgot about that.
Oh God, I never did.
Yeah, well, Anna,
saying, like, big studios wouldn't make films like this, but there's The Good Son.
Yeah, but The Good Son, no one stabs their own kid to death. So.
Well,
Well, it's more like the kid tries to stab his dad.
Right.
Well, anyway, so Ida, when she's like, oh, Ben, show me what you can do, like, over the overpass, she goes and she pushes him over into traffic below, and you're like, oh, thank God. Well, anyway,
he doesn't hit the pavement. He hits like grass,
and he's fine. And then he's able to hypnotize Ida, thinking, and she's in this like nightmarish world of snakes.
Very Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, because she's like afraid of snakes. And right before she comes to, she's actually in the road. A car comes and almost hits her. Like,
yeah,
hits her leg.
She jumps out of the way, and like her little legs get smacked by a car, and you're just like, oh my God. So then she's in the hospital, and she's like, How do I explain this?
And also, like, is Ben alive? Is he going to come and get me? She comes home. She's in a cast. And basically, this is where the movie, the even weirder, because up until this point, Ida has not had any psychic abilities. But she does this weird thing where she, like, bangs her leg down and the cast breaks.
Yeah,
remember
and suddenly,
that?
Like, she doesn't have a cast. And her sister, like, team up. They're like, we're going to get Ben.
And there's this very weird, the big climactic ending. They're like, there's a kind of like a lake or something in between the two areas they live.
So
and
the
like,
water bubbles?
Yes. Well, Anna, it's very Carrie-ish because Anna is standing on one side and Ina joins her and holds her hand. And they're using like combined psychic ability on Ben, who's on the other side of the lake, trying to use his abilities on them. And I know this sounds crazy, but they do it in a way where there's also, did you notice that all the neighborhood kids started looking toward
like,
them?
Yes, like, I think they were all combining forces.
That's
against
what I was
Ben.
Thinking, yeah.
And, like, there was, like, babies and lots of strollers. The parents weren't catching on, but, like, definitely all the kids. And then there was a big building, and all the kids kept coming out, looking out there. What's that called? Terrace?
Like, yeah, yeah. I'm going to just venture. I haven't looked up what that meant, but what I'm thinking is that getting into the, like, what do you think of this movie means, like, I'm thinking this movie is trying to say, like, kids, we see them as, like, innocent creatures, but they're a lot more powerful than we think. And I think, like, all the kids combine their powers to defeat this evil kid. And basically, all these psychic abilities end up killing Ben, and he kind of just slumps over on the
And then he's, like, left for dead. Like, it's like a
it's like on a swing.
Tire swing.
Yeah, yeah. And so they're able to, like, overcome him, and it's, like, the two sisters bond and that, you know, with this power. And unfortunately, Anna is back to not being able to speak because she doesn't have, you know, her psychic friend Aisha to convert things for her. But you know, I know the way we described it, it probably sounds all over the place, but I actually, as disturbing as it was, I actually really enjoyed this movie.
I can't say that I enjoyed it. I think it would, the first 20 minutes were so disturbing, I can't revisit that.
It's just so funny when you say something's disturbing when you, like, love Friday the 13th
but
movies.
It's so, like, it's so different. It's like, I don't like to see...
You don't
see,
want it to be too real.
Right, like, I don't want to see animals in harm, and I don't want to see children in harm, and I just feel like these psychological kid films are... just not, they're enjoyable once. You know what I mean?
I will,
like,
say this.
There
I'm
are things
not,
I don't want to watch over and over and over and over.
I will say this. I'm not going to be running to buy this and to watch it a million times, but for what it was, and here's why. I think it was done really well for a few reasons. Number one, the kids were all really good.
They were really good. I mean, when Ben had his breakdown and realizing that he has no friends and he killed his mother, I was like, wow, that is impressive acting.
Yeah, and the main two sisters, I mean, the girl who plays Anna is not autistic, and wow, did she... Like, she was convincing.
I thought, I totally agree with you 100%. I was hook, line, and sinker.
And Ida, the little girl, you could just see, like, the way she would sometimes seem a little devious. Then she was more empathetic. Like, she just played it really well for a young kid.
I actually would love to see the making of this movie and how the director got these kids to do these crazy-ass things.
It's got to be some mature-ass kids or how he explained it to them. Okay, do they even know what psychic abilities are?
I guess. So in this scene, you're feeling, I mean, like, it's got to be
you're going to be
mess.
Pushing this kid's leg to break and all in your mind.
Right. So just think about that.
Yeah, it is crazy, but again, I think it's one of those movies that I really appreciated for what it was, but I'm not going to be running to, it's not going to be, it's like Scream, which I'm going to watch over and over and over again.
It's no Scream.
No, it is no Scream, but it is disturbing, but, like, I don't know, it was just done well. A lot of psychic stuff. It should be called Village of the Carries.
That's, you know what? Looking back, it does have a lot of... Now, I love 1995's Village of the Damned, starring Christopher Reeve and... Who else is in
that? Oh, but you know that was a remake of the original
Village
of the Damned.
Yeah, I don't care for that. It's black and white.
Oh, it's black and white. It's old.
It's black and white.
You know what else is old, Tim? Have you looked in a mirror?
No, because I'm looking right now in your eyes and I see my beautiful face.
Oh,
got it.
No, it had some feelings of Village of the Damned because the kids are bad, but a lot of, you know, Carrie with the psychic abilities, but also just it really was like, you know, I feel like it was trying to make the point like kids, there's a lot more to kids than we think. And yeah. Also,
do you plan on having children?
I don't know. But
You're too old.
Listen, bitch, I'm younger than you.
And I'm old.
I think that this kind of showed that, like, also, there's not just like good versus evil, there's kind of different levels of them. Like, I feel like Ida, like you said,
well,
at the beginning,
what?
We thought
back
she was...
when I was a kid, I used to do this weird thing where I used to put ants on a leaf
and then did the magnifying glass.
No, but like I'd put them on the leaf and, like, you know, they ran to one side of the leaf and then ran one side to the other, and then I'd take a stick and poke the leaf down.
I mean, that's not exactly dropping a cat down a stairwell.
True, but I'm just saying, looking back, it was crazy.
I mean, there's some things that you do because you're just curious and ignorant, and there's some things you do because maybe you have, like, some disregard for people's feelings. But I think there's different levels of it, even in
kids. I was under the age of 5.
I think, like, some kids probably, like Aisha, are just all about wanting to help people. Some kids, like Ben, are all power hungry, selfish. And then, like, there's some that are a little more in the middle.
The movie definitely showed the different stages of learning what the power was and how to use it. And
And Ida, like, again, she was jealous of her sister's attention, and she was a little mean with it, but when it came down to it, she stood along with her to defeat the really evil guy.
So the message of the movie is, parents, don't ignore your kids.
Yeah, and
they'll get powers.
All kids have psychic powers. That's the thing. If you've learned anything from watching this, all kids have psychic abilities, so don't piss them off or they'll fuck you up.
Keep your love equal between the siblings.
Exactly, and don't let a kid trick you into stabbing your daughter.
Wait, did that happen?
Yes.
That's right.
Oh
yes,
my
I
God.
Yes,
wow.
Yes.
The senile.
I watched the movie.
Tim, it's early onset Alzheimer's, Tim.
Wow. You know what? You got early butthead.
Early butthead. We've just talked about this. Yeah. Anyway, so that is The Innocence. I mean, I say it's worth a watch. Tim says. What?
I say it is a good movie. So if you watch it once. But I don't say buy it. It's no Scream is what I'm saying.
Be prepared, though, for a couple scenes that are really tough to watch. The cat scene's tough to watch. Seeing a kid's, like, leg break is really
like
tough
that.
To watch. And seeing a mom stab her daughter is tough to watch.
Right, or seeing a mother get hot water dumped on her legs.
Yeah. So there's a lot of fun in this.
Yeah, so what I'm trying to say is this
Close
is
your
a
eyes
good
during
time.
The whole thing.
It's good to fun. It's a fun movie to watch at parties.
Exactly. Bring it out. And bring it out at, like, the holidays.
Like Christmas Eve.
Yeah, it's like, here's the thing. Start with It's a Wonderful Life, then watch The Innocents.
Yeah. It's not that innocent.
It's definitely not. Okay, moving on to a Finnish horror movie.
Finland, Matt.
Yeah, well, it's from Finland, but it's Finnish.
Finland.
So this one is called Hatching. And when we saw the trailer for this, I mean, this looked absolutely cuckoo, and we had to see it.
I was really excited.
Well, I was really excited too, because it was just like, you just see this daughter, like, bringing this egg home, and it's like hatching into a huge bird that, like, turns into her. And we were like, we have no idea what this is about, but it looks crazy and good.
I'm so glad we watched it tonight. It has a running time of an hour and 26 minutes.
Tim's favorite. You didn't love The Innocents, because it was closer to 2 hours.
That's right.
Tim was like, enough.
Enough.
This isn't innocent enough. You should be in a movie called The Innocent.
That's right. I should be.
So, okay. So setting the scene for Hatching, like... Wow. I mean, this one.
It is a beautiful opening of this beautiful neighborhood and this picture perfect family.
Oh, wow. And the mom is, like, filming on her phone, and you can tell that she's either doing a blog or she's an influencer. And it's like a day in the life of, like, what is it, like, the perfect family?
Yeah.
Or what does it say? And she's, like, filming her daughter who's in gymnastics and her husband. And it's like almost like Pleasantville.
Yeah,
happy.
It's very Pleasantville. Everyone's dressed super preppy, which I like that little
attitude. I knew you would like the costumes. I knew you would like it. It does feel very preppy.
Yes. I mean, the mom, oh gosh, she's all perfect. I actually really thought the mom had a great performance.
Oh, she did, because she's just this, like, if just typical, like, appearance-based, everything's about appearances.
So they're, like, taking this master picture right on the couch, and so, like, a bird gets in?
Like, a crow flies in.
Kind of reminiscent of a Freddy's Freddy's Revenge.
Yes.
Nightmare on Elm Street 2. When like it's like a parrot.
But what happens is this crow flies in the room and starts like just fucking everything up. Like this picture perfect room, like knocking the chandelier, breaking glass, everything. Finally, it stops and the daughter...
She takes like a towel and throws it over the bird. She's like, the mom's like, come here, bring it to me.
Yeah, like she's like, well, the daughter wants to take it outside and the mom's like, no, come and bring it to her. What does the mom do to him?
The mom casually just holds the bird underneath the towel and like snaps its neck.
And
then
you're
she's like,
horrible.
Get rid of it. But she's like, but put it in the, what's
the
that?
The trash.
But it's like the special kind of like recycling trash for like, kind of like food and stuff.
Yeah, like the,
I don't know. You know, what was the word you were just about to say?
Composites.
Yeah. I know
combustible, not combustibles.
Yes.
That's growing in flames. Compost.
Yes, compost.
Anyway, that was important.
That was important.
Anyway, so you know, you're watching this, and you're like, wow, this mom, like, she's not an animal lover, but she, first off, so that's your first thought of like, wow,
this mom just needs, so quickly snapped a bird's neck
and needs everything to be perfect. Well, anyway. We then switch to the 12-year-old girl who's the gymnast, the daughter. Her name is Tinja, and she hears something in the middle of the night, and she goes out into this forest that looks like it's not real,
yeah,
remember?
Yeah, it looks like a dream sequence, and like she sees what we think is the same bird from the trash.
I know, and you're like, wait, and it looks like the bird is just in a lot
suffering?
Of pain, but unless the mom missed the neck, the bird would be dead, so that's why I didn't know if this was real or not.
Talking to you now, I still don't know.
Yeah.
So then she takes it upon herself to take a rock and starts whacking the crap out of this
I think she wants to put it out of its misery. Not that the way she kills it is okay, but you're like, she's bashing the bird with
Blood's going all over her nightgown.
Yeah, with a rock. Like, this little innocent family, hey, I just used innocent again, is just, like, murdering this bird. Anyway.
Poor birds don't stand a chance.
The daughter, like, bashes the bird, and then she moves its body and sees there's an egg there that the bird had left. And the daughter feels so guilty that she takes the egg back with her home. Because,
and
you know,
puts
what
it
is
under her pillow?
What does any human being do when they see a bird's egg, thinks that they can hatch it themselves.
Right. She's like, you know, I'll take care of this.
Exactly. So as the movie proceeds, like you first off, you learn little bits about the family. Like, as the daughter is, I guess, watching the egg, and we'll get to the egg in a second, but you see the dynamics of this father. First off, the daughter walks in on her mom basically cheating on her dad.
Oh my gosh. So she comes home from gymnastics, and like as she's walking in, he's fixing the chandelier.
Yeah.
And so she totally grazes his butt. He makes his way down the ladder and they have like a kiss. And then
he grabs her ass.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, now this movie just turned into a soap and I like it.
But the best part was the mom tries to explain this to the daughter and says, you know, I think adults have adult friends. Dad's still dad, but he's, you know, I think I'm in love or something. Like, it's bizarre
she's
the way
like,
she
well,
explains
what about dad?
It.
And she's like, dad is dad.
Dad's dad. Great answer,
yeah,
mom.
Yeah, she's like, okay, I get it.
Tinja also has like a little brother who's just kind of annoying. I feel like the parents don't pay attention. The mom doesn't pay attention to him.
I thought that something bigger would happen to the brother and nothing really, they didn't really go down the brother road.
Just more like he was neglected. And then you get the dynamic between the mother and the daughter when she goes with her to gymnastics practice. Like, Tinja is, you know, she's still kind of learning. She's not perfect. But she actually is perfect.
I mean, like,
well, she's not perfect at gymnastics.
I know, but she was really good at gymnastics.
Well,
she impressed
good, but,
me.
Well, she kept, well, but anyway, no, she kept, no, that's not correct. The other girl, you're not describing it right. The other girls are like landing all their jumps and poor Tinja's trying, but she just can't land it perfectly. And the coach is really understanding, but her mom is like, do it again.
Yeah, stepping in to the point where the coach is like turning off the lights at the gym and she's like, lock up.
Yeah, like literally the coach is leaving and the mom's still going to do it. And you realize, and I think, did you notice that you can tell the mom doesn't want her to be perfect for her. It's for her, the mom.
She wants to put it on her blog. Stage
moms. Stage moms, the worst. And also, this mom, it's all about appearances for her. She needs her picture-perfect life.
I'm really glad I'm not a mom because I'd probably be the same way.
What?
Yeah,
no, you wouldn't.
I'd be perfect. I'm like, hey guys, welcome to my blog. This is my perfect family.
No, because if you were like that, you would do that like those gays on Instagram who are just, you know,
well, I don't have that kind of time.
Well, like they're just like, hey, my favorite is you post a selfie of yourself and put like a clever tagline so it doesn't look like you just meant to do a selfie.
Like, oh, happy Tuesday. Oh,
yeah, exactly. Tuesdays are really boring, me shirtless. Come on, everyone.
Right,
we
like,
know what you're doing.
So sad about the weather today. Here's me shirtless.
I know. Cloudy day outside, but all sun here.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate
ugly
it.
Ugly cardio.
Oh, bleh.
I actually appreciate it, though, and I will like every single one of them.
Of course you will. Speaking of bleh, let's get back to the daughter growing this egg. So first the egg gets incredibly
big. Well, first she tears open a teddy bear, puts the egg in the teddy bear, and then the movie takes like, there's so many turns, but then the egg is huge.
Like, it's humongous, like people-sized egg, let's imagine. And then it hatches, and what comes out of the egg looks like a CGI dinosaur from Jurassic Park.
It's actually pretty impressive, and it's actually really cute. It like jumps out the window.
But it's like a weird, imagine a bird in the form of Jurassic Park, but like about people, so maybe 7 feet tall.
But with feathers.
With feathers. But it looks like crazy. And like this whole time, I'm telling Tim during this movie as we're watching, this can't be real. Because like her parents would hear all this commotion. Is this in her mind? What's going on?
Right. We kept thinking it would have like a black swan ending. Like, this means this.
Or that it's in her mind or another figment of her personality. Either way.
Sixth sense kind of thing.
As the girl still, even though she's afraid of this like bird thing she's hatched, she starts kind of caring for it. And if you want to talk about scenes that are tough to watch, there are two scenes in this.
Oh gosh, it's coming up.
Where the girl, the bird won't eat normal
right.
food.
Did you know going into this movie the way birds eat is from
of
their
course.
Mothers?
I think most second graders know that.
Well, the way I learned was from Saturday Night Live when Juliana Margulies spit into Chris Kattan's mouth.
Mother birds will regurgitate food to feed their youngins, and
this movie
bird
tackles that subject.
Yes, the little girl or the 12-year-old, the only way the bird will eat is if she eats some bird feed herself and throws it up for the baby.
The first time she didn't have the bird seed, she just, it was her own, threw up. And she's like, the bird's like, thanks.
And let me just say, like, it's really hard for me to watch someone vomiting without feeling like I'm going to vomit. Is it hard for you?
You know, you, I think, had a little bit more hard of a time watching. For some reason, I was watching because I was like, are they going to...
You were getting off on it.
Yeah. No, I was like, are they going to go down this road? And they did.
Three times, now that I think of it. And I'm talking, we're not just like saying you hear it and it goes off scene. Oh no, you see your vomit. And many times you see the bird lick it up.
Yes, and you hear it.
You hear it, you see it, everything. So moving forward, the first
thing... Do you think people
thing,
are still listening after we just said that?
We're not going, bleh, away. The bird starts doing some crazy things. Like there's this, the next door neighbor who becomes Tinja's friend, she has a dog that's like yapping all in the middle of the night.
Cute Frenchie.
And what does the bird do?
Kills the dog, beheads the dog, throws it next to her in the bedroom.
Yes, leaves the decapitated dog body next to her in the bedroom.
So she takes it upon herself to bury it in the backyard.
And that should be the sign that this bird is crazy.
Right.
But no.
She's like, oh God, I kind of love the bird.
I'm going to keep caring for her. Well, here's what's even creepier. As the bird keeps growing, it starts morphing into looking more human-like, and not just more human-like, more like Tinja. And then they're at a gymnastics practice, and the neighbor is better than Tinja, and the mom, you can tell, is not happy about
that. Yeah, she's like, you better not be able to take my daughter's gymnastics place.
Exactly. So the neighbor says, oh, after practice, I'll walk home. She proceeds to walk on this abandoned, like, dark road.
Right. And then there's, like, flashes behind her of the bird now getting bigger into a human girl.
Like, now it's, like, almost bird human.
It's like wearing, like, a nightgown. So
that's
the mom...
even creepier because, you know what it reminds me of? The creepy sister in Pet Sematary. What's her name? With the scariest part of Pet Sematary.
Yes. I could never tell you her
you're
name.
You're never going to get out of bed, that girl.
Yes.
It reminds me of her because she had the nightgown on.
Fun fact, that was played by a man.
Actually, I could see that.
But here's even a more of a twist. The mom is, since, you know, she's having an affair, she goes, let's take you out for the weekend to stay with my boyfriend.
Oh, yes. But just to finish we didn't finish the neighbor. The bird attacks the neighbor and the neighbor gets her hand cut off and ends up in the hospital.
Yeah. And her face is all scraped up.
Yeah. So... at this point, again, as we were watching, I think we were both wondering, well, this has to be real, right? Because the girl couldn't have done it. Like, it looked like an animal attack.
Well, because the girl was not with, like, she was in the car with her mother when the girl was attacked. So the bird and the girl are two different people. Everything I just said sounds insane.
Well, and so after that, when the mom takes the daughter to spend the weekend at her boyfriend's place, the boyfriend also has a baby.
Oh, yeah, because he's a widower?
Yeah, he's a widower. And again, but then you find out even Tinja's dad knows about the boyfriend and is like, hey, your mom goes after what she wants. Like, who's okay with that?
Right. Do you know what that's called? An open relationship.
I was going to say either an open relationship or a really weak husband that's like, whatever you want to anything.
Well, she obviously wears the pants in that relationship.
Except for the fact that she only wears dresses for her blog.
Well, of course, because she's perfect.
Perfect. Well, the daughter, while she's there, the bird has now become so much, looks so much like her, even though she's like, she still has these animalistic traits, that when other people, like the boyfriend, start seeing her and think it's Tinja, so it sees her and she attacks the boyfriend,
and
then the boyfriend thinks
hand.
It was Tinja, and like then Tinja goes to a competition. And the bird human thing is about to try to kill the baby.
Yeah, with an axe.
Yes, and the boyfriend saves her, but says that Tinja did it. And so it's like, I don't want to see you ever again.
She's got to throw herself onto the ground to break her hand so the bird thing can feel
it. What we didn't explain before is that you also start to sense that this bird thing, whenever Tinja feels something or gets hurt, it affects the bird thing too. So it's almost like, I don't know if it's supposed to be a baby or a twin or a doppelganger, but it's like they feel the same thing. So if Tinja injures herself,
it's like,
it'll injure
what's that,
the
like
bird.
Twin mentality?
Or pod people?
Or pod people?
Yeah, but it's like sharing a brain thing. So anyway, we get to kind of the ending, and you're wondering, you know, what is going to happen. And now the bird almost fully looks like Tinja. And finally, like, the mother thinks that the bird is actually Tinja and is combing her hair and accidentally,
rips out her, like, hair from her scalp, and there's, like, blood everywhere.
Yeah, and then the bird human version of Tinja, like, attacks the mom, and Tinja has to save the mom.
Right.
And then again, the mom doesn't seem that bent out of shape. Like, for me, if I saw
she was attacking the creature like, oh, this is so everyday.
Yeah, she even tells the dad, she's like, oh, yeah, there's something in here that looks like Tinja, but it's not her. No biggie. Like, it
yeah,
almost
we're going
like
to take
nothing.
Care of it. Everything's going to be perfect.
And it's so weird. So then at the very end, there's another struggle.
Need to, before we go on to the very end, we need to back up, like, after her.
Oh, when the mom's filming herself?
That would scene too, but the scene where, like, the, what's it called when you see someone? What's it? The other man is, like, kicking her to the curb. She gets into the car, and she bangs her head against the steering wheel, and she's like, why can't you let me be happy?
Yes, you start to notice that the mom, like, anytime her perfect existence is threatened, she just loses it, and so when the boyfriend finally kicks the mom and daughter out, she slams her head into the steering wheel, like, over and over again, to the point of bloodying her face.
So she walks back into the house, and, like, she with her nose all bloody, her face all bloody.
Yeah.
Like, hey.
And then she's just like, hey, it's okay, but here's the best part, and leading into what I was saying, I'm glad you thought of that. I'm glad
because
we reminded that. No, it is important.
Amazing.
That's good that you remember that. She puts makeup all over the bloody bruises, gets her phone up, and starts recording, like, hey, everyone, you know, in case you're wondering, and acting like everything's perfect. Like, you just see the difference
her
real life and what she's putting out there. And I know that was a message of this film. It's like, not just influencers, but how people on social media,
like,
pretend like everything,
like,
is great.
What you see in the little square is the best of someone's day.
Of course.
I'm not going to show you the first part of my day when I look like hell.
And when you're talking to a camera and talking about something happening, you're, of course, leaving out most of what really happened.
Right.
I'm sure.
Like, I usually turn on my camera and start crying and just talking.
Yeah,
like,
you're just like, oh my God, I'm depressed. I'm lonely. I'm old and I'm horrible and I hate life.
It gets very lots of viewers.
I applaud you for being so
thank
real.
You. I just keep it real and honest.
It's called Depressed Tim.
Right.
Look for his handle on Instagram and TikTok.
Hashtag Depressed Tim 2022.
No, but there's a reason why people don't do that on social media. I guess one,
it'd make it much more interesting.
Well, one, I was going to just say no one wants to watch that. And two, people craft images for that. It's image crafting.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I mean, if you really, really break down, I know we're getting deep in social media, but people are just showing the best of them.
Oh, of course. And that's obviously what this mom wants
to
do.
But I don't use filters.
Never.
I don't.
No, you don't. I applaud you for that because we know a lot of people who do. You know what I'm saying?
Some people look 21 and they're 41. What?
So it gets to the last like big struggle between the bird version of Tinja and
that
the mom.
Sounds so crazy.
And the mom has a knife and like wants to kill the bird version, but actual human Tinja doesn't want her to. So Tinja runs up in front of her and the mom goes to stab her and accidentally stabs the human version.
Right. And then she like backs over onto the bird. Tinja and like all her blood runs into the bird and the bird is like getting life from her blood.
Yes, and transforms into now the human version of Tinja, like, and it ends where the previous human version is dead and this new like other version has now become her, and like the mom smiles.
Yeah, she's like, you know what? The family's still complete and can be perfect.
And it just ends. And we're like, wait, okay, did that really happen? And before I go into my interpret, what did you get from this? Like, what did you think that meant? Or was it all real and there was really a bird?
I mean, obviously the movie's taking the bird aspect seriously, but there's the social media aspect mm-hmm. with the mother. There's like the daughter trying to be perfect for the mother.
Yeah.
A family trying to be perfect. It's just everyone trying to be perfect. And I think what we show on the outside is not how we truly feel. Is that too deep? I don't know.
No, I think that's a good assessment. I think what I would add on to that is that what I got from like the hatched version becoming real is that now I feel like what the mom has tried to create in this daughter, like a selfish person who only cares about appearances and stuff, she's fully formed this new version of Tinja, like meaning the human version that cared about other things and cared about other parts
empathy?
Of life. Has now died. And this new, just like the mother, like, I want to be perfect, I guess, hatched, if
I
you
mean,
should say,
there's
version
a couple
of her.
Wives on Housewives that could, you know, are just like this.
Oh, well, so that's what I got from the ending, that it's like the old Tinja is gone and this bird just meant the version that's being crafted by her mom, who wants her to be perfect and, you know, even if she doesn't enjoy it, be dedicated to gymnastics, you know, get rid of your competition, even if they're your friend.
Right.
If anything's annoying, you kill it. If you anything's know, messing up your world, get rid of
hearing
it.
Hearing you say this, I took a couple notes and I think I'm going to take out the competition.
As I start dying.
Oh, you're not my competition.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay, so I'll take you out.
I mean, someone
out.
Like who's like super hot, you know?
How dare you? Well, now I'm going to take you out, bitch.
Take me out where? To the ball game?
I did think that the mom was going to pull like a Tonya Harding on the gymnast. Didn't you think was going to like hit her to knock her out of the competition?
Well, I was like, the mom was driving in a car, so I was like, maybe.
Like she'd run her over or something. Well, it's kind of sad. Like, all in all, it was a very interesting movie. It was really kooky and weird.
I don't know if I need to see a kid barf on the ground and a bird eat it.
Yeah, it's just funny because relating back to what you said in the last movie, there were parts that you just didn't want to see. See, I felt like more of that in this movie. Like, I cannot watch people continuously barfing, and also all the slobber that kept falling from the bird creature.
Yeah,
like, those
like,
are things
it was
that
like
made
slime
me.
Slime or something.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I would recommend The Innocents over this movie. I know you feel differently, but only because this movie was so out there. It was just so out there. Whereas The Innocents, for me, yes, it was a little out there with the kids with these psychic abilities, but I don't know. I was more affected by it. This movie, I was like, what the fuck?
Well, The Innocents played it straight.
How
I mean, if
dare
I get
you.
Well, both of them.
Homophobe.
No. What I'm saying is, I guess both films are far-fetched.
Yes.
Like, they're just out there. And I'm actually really shocked they have such high ratings of 97, 98%, whatever.
See, I have to go on the flip side of that and say I'm not shocked, because think about critics. Everyone wants to.
They want something new.
They want, just like they say in Scream, elevated horror. Like, you know
how.
I
want dumb horror.
Well, but you know how Tara is like in the opening scene of Scream 2022 is like, you know, I don't like those dumb slasher movies. I like elevated horror. And in a way, you
like
laugh at
Babadook.
It because. Yeah, because critics love these types of movies. So I'm actually not shocked that it got such high ratings on. Now, if you look at the audience ratings, they're more in like the 60s, 70s, which that seems a little more real.
Because right. There were people like me in the theater saying, what the F is this?
Well, or people that are like, yeah, I kind of like this, but maybe not. Critics are always going to be like, no, but, oh, it's so innovative.
No, but I would say between the two, I would definitely I might revisit Hatching again because it's just so bonkers
that
I'd want to share a little kid barfing and a bird eating it with a friend.
That's the word I was looking for. I kept saying kooky, but what I meant is bonkers. They're basically the same thing. But like, I think it was just a little too bonkers for me, whereas The Innocence was disturbing
but
and
like,
actually kind of freaked me out.
Telling people the story of The Innocence and Hatching, like, it's a real tough sell. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
who are these movies made for?
Well,
us?
This is what I'll say. I think there's going to be a lot of people listening to this podcast who have probably
turning us off after 10 minutes.
Who have not watched these movies yet. And if you've stayed on to listen, even though we have spoilers, maybe you actually will be like, wow, this sounds so weird that I want to watch it. Like maybe because it's so crazy, you'll want to see it. Like, when we saw the trailer for Hatching, that's what got us into it. It looked fucking crazy.
As soon as I saw a little girl, like, peeking through a closet,
and it looked like Jurassic
Park. I was
like,
whatever the F this is, I need to see it.
And when I saw The Innocence, and by the way, the trailer for The Innocence, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
it just looks like the kids are coming up with something. So we went into this just thinking, okay, kids are going to do something wrong, but we had no idea that it was actually the kids going against each other and they were psychic. Like,
right.
I didn't know that.
I mean, again, I'm not a huge fan of like supernatural stuff, and like, I can't say this is even sci-fi. I think it's more a commentary on just like kids being
or
trying
like
to figure out
family dynamics, social
family dynamics, and like.
I will say
neglect.
I feel like The Innocence was a little bit more supernatural because there was that like Sixth Sense part in it, whereas Hatching was more, I hate to say like a creature feature, but like how else do you describe
it's,
this?
It's what's a word for a really gross movie?
I think really gross movie.
No, but I mean, there's a name for it.
Like gross out horror. Like
like there's like a lot of bodily fluids. It's nasty. Like, there's lots of
body
slime.
Horror.
Yeah, body horror. I think there is such thing as body horror.
Yeah,
right?
Well, then this is definitely body horror. But like, and again, one thing I will say about foreign horror, and remember, foreign horror doesn't only mean movies with subtitles. Like a British film is a horror film. An Australian horror film a British film is a foreign horror film. An Australian film is a my God.
I know what you're saying, but
Jacob,
my
edit
goodness.
This out. I'm gonna try that
no,
again.
No, Jacob, keep it. No.
You know, because not just movies with subtitles are foreign horror movies. Like, a British horror movie is a foreign horror movie. An Australian horror movie is a foreign horror movie. So you can
an
have
American
movies...
Werewolf in London. Go on.
Well, so you can have movies in English, but what I do want to say about foreign horror in general is that I feel like they take more risks.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
America is so conservative. And these types of movies, I don't think you could get away with having kids do this, like The Innocence, and I don't think you could have the gross-out stuff from Hatching in an American horror movie.
I mean, you might, but it's not going to get a major release from a studio. It could be like Terrifier and get like a little underground kind of thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, Terrifier had like bloody gore violence, but like, I don't know. I haven't seen a lot with kids on
right.
American
I, and
horror.
And I don't want to see kids. I just want
kids to be out of there.
No, I know. I mean, I don't mind kids, but I mean, they're the focus of these films. I mean, like, the Hatching has the whole movie's on a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I mean, yeah. And it's funny because The Innocence is all on the kids, too. So,
right.
In a way, this is, like, creepy kid
foreign
horror.
I mean, like, the parents are, besides the mother, are besides the point.
Yeah, the mother. Although, I will say her boyfriend was hot.
He was cute. He had great hair.
And it was, I felt really bad for the actual dad because he just was so, not oblivious, I mean, the opposite. He knew what was going on, just was like, whatever.
Well, when you have a dominating someone in the relationship, it's tough.
I know. Anyway,
what do you mean,
so.
You know. You've been in a dominating relationship.
No, not like with Jacob, but I've dated people like that, and I'm sure I've come off like that to certain people.
Me?
How dare you? We're not in a relationship.
A pod friendship.
Yeah. A pod ship. I like that. A pod ship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, with that, again, either of these movies or both of these movies
are
on...
Or just watch Scream 2022.
Oh, no, I was going to say both these movies are on, like, Voodoo and wherever you can rent movies if you want to take a
artsy
chance.
Artsy cinemas.
They're in artsy cinemas. Or you can go to Norway or Finland and watch them.
Yeah, that's a hike.
Yes,
but
exactly.
It's doable.
Exactly. Anyway, well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye. Have a great evening, day, lunch, breakfast.
Whatever. Okay, bye.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time.
This podcast is hosted by Matt Emmer and myself, Tim Murdoch, and co-produced and edited by Jacob Randall.
We now release episodes every Monday, and in each episode we either review horror movies that just came out, or interview stars and insiders from iconic horror films. You can stream all our episodes directly from our website, that's happyhorrortime.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And remember, our reviews do contain spoilers, so we always post the movies we're discussing a few days in advance on our social media pages, so listeners can check them out ahead of time.
And speaking of social media, make sure you follow our pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Happy Horror Time. We even started putting our interviews up on YouTube along with our horror short film, Come In. You've got to check it out. You can find us on YouTube by searching for Happy Horror Time.
If you'd like to support the podcast, please sign up to be a patron at patreon.com/happyhorrortime.
That's patreon.com/happyhorrortime. Patrons get access to our growing library of monthly bonus episodes and other fun benefits like ad-free episodes that are out a day in advance, our monthly newsletter, participation in polls, and autographed Happy Horror Time stickers!
Woo! And if you'd like to contact us, please send us an email at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. Tell us what you love, how sexy you think we are, whatever!
I'm Matt Emmert.
And I'm Tim Murdoch.
And we hope you have a happy horror time!
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.